Okay, we're starting here on the top of Kuf Talad Amud Aleph by the two dots. Itmar, Shliach Shaso Be'idim. A person who appoints a Shliach LeKabbalah in front of Eidim. For instance, someone owes him money and he wants to collect the money for that individual. So he wants a Shliach to go ahead and accept it on his behalf, to go receive the money on his behalf. So what does he do? He does not actually go to the individual who owns him the money and say, listen, send it with this Shliach. But rather he goes to in front of two Eidim and says, look, this Shliach is my Shliach LeKabbalah. This individual can go collect the money on my behalf. Rav Chista Amar, have a shliach. That works to establish a shliach. Rabbi Amar, lo have a shliach. Rabbi says it does not work, or that he cannot function as a shliach the Kabbalah. Rav Chista, what's the reason? Rav Chista Amar, have a shliach. Lahachi tarchiv ilkuma be'edim. Telekev rishudek. So what, the whole point of him getting Edim here and to appoint the shliach is to make him into a functioning agent so that he can accept stuff on his behalf. Rabbi Amar, lo have a shliach. Rabbi says, no, he doesn't function as an agent over here, or he cannot act as an agent over here. So then why did he do it in front of Edim? This guy is believable to me. I mean, I trust this individual. He's a mach samuch. If you want to send it with him, that's your problem. That's your decision. If you want to do that, fine. If you rely on him, if you're comfortable with him and you want to send it with him, that's fine. But you're still responsible with the money till it reaches my hand, because he's not a shliach the Kabbalah. He's just, I'm okay with you sending it with this individual, but will still remain in your possession, still remain your problem. Tosus over here has a couple of big chidushim. One of them is that with regards to the way he learns Agamar, it sounds like he says, "L'chora nira da'ari kagon shalom amar lo shalach li ayado." Sounds like from Agamar is a case where he didn't say to the individual, you know, send it with these edim. Rock that the edim are me'edim that he made him into a shliach. But if he says explicitly, send this item or send this money with me, with this guy, then it will clearly work as a shliach. The only reason with Tosfos and Havamina here is that it's only because he did it in front of Edim, and the Edim are testifying that we have a shliach here. That means that he's not a shliach the Kabbalah, or there's a problem with shliach Kabbalah. But had he actually sent, if we actually know from him that he says, you know, send it through this individual, then that would have worked because we got it directly from him. Tosfos rejects this idea, and in the end comes up with a massive chiddush that says that tarich b'chol inyan shelo b'fanav lo avi shliach ad shemo lo b'fanav. That a person can never appoint a shliach unless he does it in front of the individual whom he wishes to use as that shliach. I mean, a shliach l'kabbalah here can only work if he appoints the shliach and says, send it with this individual in front of the person who's supposed to send the item to him. Otherwise, there's no shliach. There's one big chiddush of Tosfos. The second big chiddush of Tosfos is the next one, which is that Rabbi Amar lo avi shliach. Rabbi says he's not a shliach. So, I'm sorry. The next chiddush is in Tosfos. Halacha kamarle inish mehem nahu. So when he says, according to Rabbi, who says that he's not really an agent, he doesn't function as an agent over here, what does he say? He says, well, he's a believable person to me. Well, in general, what's the problem with a shliach? When I send something to you, I'll give a shliach. You say to me, listen, I believed you, I can trust you to give me a shvua and anything you say, but I don't trust the other individual you sent it with. So therefore, you can't shliach v'yad shliach. It doesn't work. But over here, he's basically giving him the go. He's giving him the green light. He's saying, I do believe this guy. If that's the case, then he doesn't have the claim. I don't want to make pikadon with another individual. What do you mean? He just said that this guy is believable to you. Why can't I put my pikadon with this guy for you? So he says, that even if he gives it to the individual himself he owes the money to, it's not classified as if he gave the money back to him. Why? For instance, if you're out in a midbar and he says, you know, here's your money back that you have, and now he gives it to the individual that he owed the money to. Tosfos says here, it's not a completed transaction, and the money is still the responsibility of the one who owes the money. It's still responsibility of the borrower until the lender gets back to the yeshuv, until he gets back to the place where he lent them the money. The obligation to return money to an individual is not only to return it to him as the individual, but to return it to him in the same location and in the same safety that he lent it to you. And therefore, when you give it over to another shliach, or even if you give it over to the one you owe the money to directly, if it's not in a place where it's shamor, it's not in the equivalent location as to where he lent it to you, that's not considered giving it back to him. And then until he reaches that place, you will be responsible for that money. So these are two big chidushin that come out of Tosa. Tosa persists with one of these chidushin throughout the daf, which is that the only time you can create a shliach is if you actually do, or a shliach lekabbalah, is if you do it in front of the individual who is sending the money to you or is trying to send the item to you. That's the only way you can create a shliach lekabbalah. And the second chidush is that even if you believe someone, you cannot necessarily, they cannot be appointed shliach, or even you yourself can't be accepting the money on behalf until it's returned in the location and the same safety as where the money was lent to you. Now the Gemara continues. It's not. We have a Mishnah. A Mishnah says, a shoel et para, person who borrows a para, v'shulcha, the lender sends it, the mashil sends it, biyad beno, with his son, or biyad avdo, with his servant, biyad shluchor, with his own agent. Oh, or he sends it to the shoel, biyad beno, biyad avdo, meaning the son of the borrower, or the evid of the borrower, or the shaliach of the borrower, shoel. Umeita, if the item that he's trying to borrow dies on the way, this para dies, patur. In all these cases, the shoel is patur, because the mashil is responsible until it reaches the hands of the shoel. In the case where he used his own people, it's clear because these are extensions of the Mashiel. But even when he uses the people, the Shoel never asked him to send them with these people. And since the Mashiel of his own volition sent it with him, it's his responsibility until it reaches the hands of the Shoel. Now the problem is Kasha Rav Chisda. There's a problem for Rav Chisda in this Mishnah. What's the problem for Rav Chisda in this Mishnah? That Hechidami. Hai shlucho, hechidami. What's the case of shlucho, meaning with the shoel? We said that the shoel has a messenger over here, and if he sends it with the shoel's messenger, it doesn't work. So, how do we have a shliach of the messenger that is not appointed to act on his behalf? Either asa be'edim, if he never appointed him with edim in ayadina, then how do we know he's the shliach of the shoel? Oh, the asa be'edim must be that he appointed with edim, and he says, you are my shliach. And then the mashiel gives it over to him, and what does it say? Viktani patur. And our Mishnah says he's patur. That is exactly like the position of Rabbo, which is that even when you appoint a shliach lekabbalah to accept something in front of edim, that shliach cannot act as a shliach lekabbalah, and therefore that's why the shoel is patur over here, because it still remains in the hands of the mashiel. So that's kashul of chista. That's a problem for Rav Chisda. So when it says no, kedam Rav Chisda b'schirov lekito. The case here is of schiro and lekito. I'll defer the explanation with schiro lekito is till the next case in the Gemara. What's that case? Hakanan b'schirov lekito. That's not. We have a Mishnah, lo yiten lo livno v'lo lishlucho. Our Mishnah over here says that he may not return the Karen by giving it to the son of the person he owes the money to, that he stole from and he lied to when he took a shivu'ah, the sheker, now he admits that he wants to give it back. He can't send it with that person, the nixal's child, and he can't send it with an nixal shliach. What's the case of shliach in our Mishnah? How does he have a shliach of the nixal and that he can't send it with him? If he did not appoint him with edim, minayadinan. How do we know that he's the shliach of the nixal? El lavda so beedim. Must be that there are edim here that testify that he is the shliach of the nixal. So if he is edim that testifies the shliach of the nixal, what is our Mishnah saying? You're not allowed to send it with this shliach. I mean, you could send it, but then you're going to be responsible for the money until it reaches the hands of the nixal. That shows you that the nixal is unable to create with edim a shliach the Kabbalah. That's against Rav Chisda's position. So Targuma, Rav Chisda explained our Mishnah in this manner. Bischiro over the Kito. That's a case of Schiro and the Kito. What's Schiro and the Kito? So Rashi explains that Schiro and the Kito. The Kito is either that this is a person that he took in to live with him, is a lonely person that he took in and that lives with him or boards with him, or another person, the Kito, is that he's his sharecropper or that he is his harvester, or in the other, in a case of Schiro, is someone that he hires either daily or monthly or for a year. Now, each of these people are people who have a relationship with the, in the case of the Shoel Mashiel, with the Shoel, or in the case of us, the Nigzal and the Gazan, they have a relationship with the Nigzal. So since they have another relationship with the Nigzal, we would think that they could act as Shlichim of the Nigzal. They weren't appointed by Edim. They're not appointed to be Shliach the Kabbalah, but nevertheless, because of their relationship with the Nigzal, or the relationship with the Shoel, we call them, or they have a name of a Shliach, even though they can't really function as a shliach of Kabbalah, but ain hachanami, av a shliach shasel beidim, had he made the shliach with edim, ma'i would have been a din hachanami, that shliach, then it would have been a good shliach. So it's a failure here, is because he didn't do it with edim. Had he done it with edim, he could create a shliach of Kabbalah, according to Rav Chisda. Where it says, if that's the case, ad tani seif, av a notain, who shliach beidim, Why does the Mishnah come up with a case where he's allowed to give it over to someone? According to Rashi, then he is totally patur once he gives it to Beis Din. According to Tosfos, then he's patur for the own sin al aderech. He gives it to Shliach Beis Din. Why do I have to come with that case? I have a better case. I could have created the case within a Shliach. What's that? That in our Mishnah, what is it true you shouldn't get over to the shliach of the nigzal? That's in a case where shelo asal beidim, that he didn't do it eidim. Aval, but in a case shliach shasal beidim, but if he did it with eidim, chenami davi shliach, then in that case it would work as a shliach. What do I have to come to shliach based in for? I could create a case where he can create a shliach to kabbalah when he does it in front of eidim. So when it says imrei lo psikolet, because that was not a definitive end, that's not a definitive split. Why is it not a definitive split? Because shliach based in lo shna aso nigzal, but lo shna aso gazlan avi shliach. When it comes to a shliach based in, doesn't matter whether he was appointed by the nigzal or appointed by the gazlan, he is a shliach. It works. He functions as a shliach of Beis Din and psikolei, so there's nothing to talk about. Shliach shaso beidim, in a case where shliach shaso beidim, meaning a shliach is appointed by the eidim to be a shliach of Kabbalah, tchiaso nigzal, if the nigzal appoints him with eidim, then who the havi shliach? In that case, he is a shliach. Aso gazlan, on the other hand, if the gazlan appoints him to be a shliach on behalf of the nigzal, that doesn't work. Lo havi shliach, doesn't matter if he does it in front of eidim, he can't create a shliach of Kabbalah for the nigzal, so therefore lo psikolei. So that's not, psikolei is not a definitive statement, not the gazlan and the nigzal can't appoint a shliach in this manner. The only way we have a lesham psika where you always putter is by shliach bezdin. Doesn't matter if the gazlan does it, doesn't matter if the nigzal does it. Either way, the shliach bezdin functions as shliach bezdin, and it will be putter the gazlan once he hands the money over to him. Or if uke mehaitan, it comes to exclude to the position of this tana, the tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, shliach bezdin shall sell nigzal velo asa gazlan. If a shliach bezdin is appointed by the nigzal, even though the gazlan does not agree to it or does not know about it, oh, I saw gazlan v'shalach havanat tal shalom, or the gazlan appointed him and the other individual went ahead, meaning the nigzal went ahead and sent him, picked it up from him, yado patur. In all these cases, you are patur. So our Mishnah, it gave a case where it's psikolei, where it's clear whether the you could have a unilateral appointment of a shliach bezin, whether it's by the gazlan, whether it's by the nigzal. That's what our Mishnah says. That's as opposed to the Tanya Reb Shimon Elazar, the case of Reb Shimon Elazar, Omer shliach bezin shaso nigzal v'lo asa gazlan. Case where the nigzal appoints him and not the gazlan, that works. That unilaterally works. But in the case of sel gazlan v'shalach halav natalet shelo miado patur, when the gazlan appoints the shliach bezin, then only if the nigzal comes and picks it up from him and it's in the possession of the nigzal is he patur. That implication is that if it was before the nigzal picked it up, that the gazlan would be on the hook for it. So that shows you that when the gazlan unilaterally appoints a shliach bezin, then it does not work. So as opposed to our Mishnah, which says that a shliach bezin can be appointed both by the gazlan unilaterally or the nigzal, Shem Elazar believes that's only true by the nigzal that he can appoint it unilaterally. But when it comes to the gazlan, he cannot appoint it unilaterally, and that's what our Mishnah is coming to Fuke to teach us that the halacha is not like Shem Elazar. Okay, now we have Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, the Amri Tervayu, Shliach Shasel Beidim, Avi Shliach. So a shliach that's made by Edim is a shliach, so they agree to the position of Rav Chista. Vim Tomar, so they're going to have the same problem Rav Chista had with our Mishnah, Mishnah Teinu. What are you going to do with it? So they come up with one of two answers. The first answer is, B'mamsi lo shliach. That really, it's not a case where he appointed a shliach la Kabbalah, but rather he makes a shliach available to him. What happens here? D'amalei itlei zuzei gabi plani. He says to an individual, listen, this guy owes me money over there. He hasn't paid it back. V'lo kam shadaluhu. He's not sending them to me. I want my money back, and he hasn't sent them to me. Itchazilei. Go and show up in front of him. Tell him, listen, I'm going back to Mr. House's over here. D'amalei inishu d'lo mishkach l'shtorilei. Maybe the problem of him getting the money back here is he hasn't found somebody traveling back to my area. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you over there. You tell him, listen, I'm traveling back there. Maybe you want to send the money with me. Not that I'm appointing you to be a shliach of Kabbalah, but rather I'm making it available to him. I'm making it easier for him to send the money back to him. But there's no appointment of shlichut. That's the case of our Mishnah. Or the other possibility is the answer like Krista, Schira Likito, that the case here is where why is he called the shlucho in the Mishnah? Because he has another relationship with the nigzal. Because he has some other alternative relationship with nigzal, we call him shlucho, even though he was never really appointed to be the shliach l'kabbalah. But had he been appointed in front of Eidim to be shliach l'kabbalah, Inochanami, he would have been a shliach. And same thing in the first case. Had he appointed him with Eidim, he would have been a shliach. The problem here is he didn't appoint him to be a shliach. He just told him, go over there, make it easier for this guy to send the money back. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ein Meshalchim ma'ot b'diyunki. You're not allowed to send money with a diyuki, afilu edim chatumi aleha, even if edim are signed on it. So what's this diyuki? This is that the bala pikadon, somebody wants to receive his pikadon back, he sends a shliach with simanim, that he says something with simanim, and he signs it at the bottom of the letter, and then he gives it over to him, and he says, go to this person and tell him to give you the money or to give you the pikadon. So, in the case, even if there are edim signed on his simanim, or on his siman that's on this document, that's not enough. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, if there are edim signed on the signature that he has here, or this emblem that he puts there, the simanim that he puts there, it's really, this guy's a shliach, then it works. So, Emile Shmuel, Maita Kanto. Wait a minute, now, according to Shmuel, how do you ever come up with a case, that he can actually send it back via the shliach? Someone says, no problem, I'll give you the case. Gihad Rabbi Avo. They have a case of Rabbi Avo. Maskei Zuzi b'Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. Rabbi Avo was owed money. He lent money out to Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. I'm a leader of Safra. He says to Rav Safra, Hadi Atit, when you come over there, Aitinu Niyale, you bring them with me. Gazal Lahatam, when he went over there, I'm a leader of Rava Bray. So Rava, the sign of Rav Yosef Bar Chama, says to Rav Safra, who came to collect the money on behalf of Rabbi Avo, Mikatov La Hit Kabilati, that he write to you that when you accept the money, when you're the Shleach of Kabbalah, that it's as if I accepted it, that we don't have any more responsibility for it. Rav Leila says no. Says Iyachi Zil. He says go Zil Bereisha V'Yichtov Lecha Hit Kabbalati. Says forget it. That's not going to work, because if we have to give it to you, then we're responsible for the money until it reaches all the way back to Rav Yavo, and we don't want that responsibility. So unless he's willing to say that once you've accepted it, it's as if he's gotten it, then we're not willing to give it to you. The Sof Amarle, and then afterwards, you know what? Even if he says that, even if he says, you go back to him and get a signed document that says, I'm going to accept it, when you accept it, I take responsibility. When Rabbi Abba says, when Rav Safra accepts the money, I'm responsible for it. I can't do that. Why? Lav klumu. It's no good. Duma adati shachiv Rabbi Abba. Because maybe by the time you get back, your Rabbi Abba died, and your shlichus, your agency has failed. It's gone. You no longer have the right to be the agent on his behalf. And naflu zuzei kamei yatme. And then the atomim are the ones who have the claim here. Vit kabalti de Rabbi Abba. Lav klumu. And the fact that he says that when you accept it on his behalf, you're no longer his agent, and therefore you're not acting on behalf of the Yotomi. If you're not acting on behalf of the Yotomi, the Yotomi say, if the money got lost, we never got paid. Pay up over here. So what we see from this statement of Rava, this condition of Rava, is that he's not willing to give over the money to the Shliach of Kabbalah, the Shliach of Kabbalah, unless he can get off the hook. Now, he can't get off the hook because of one of two reasons. Either because Rasaf is not empowered to the point where when he accepts it, it's done, the transaction is done. Or secondly, even if he is empowered, what we're afraid of is since Rabbi Avo, that's what the Rashi says, Rabbi was an older chacham at this point, that he might die before you get over here. If he dies before you get here and I give you the money, I'm not protected anymore because you're no longer his agent. So what do we do to solve the problem? So you say, Amalei, Elamaita Kanta, what should we do? Zil nikne ulecha agav aro. Go back to Rabbi Avo, and you, Rav Safra, tell him to give you, to be makne you, the money that that he's owed, to be makne you that money, and by aro, be a kinyan agav on the aro. And then you'll come here and you personally will write itkabalti. Why? Because the money is yours now. I mean, basically what he's doing is writing over the loan to Rav Safra. Rabbi Avo is writing over the loan to Rav Safra. Then Rav Safra comes to show up and he collects the money. When he collects the money, he's the one who, now since he owns the loan, he can write how he received the loan when he gets there. And then Rav Yosef Bar Chama and his son Rav will be off the hook. So then they're comfortable with it. Obviously, Rav Ava has to trust Rav Safra because now he's giving the loan that he actually will come back and give the money back to Rabbi Ava. But this way, he solves the problem. So too, over here, for Shmuel have the same solution. You want to create a case where you can empower Shliach the Kabbalah. You have to do a Kinyan Agav and give the Shliach real power that his acceptance is an acceptance because he owns it at this point. He had a papa of a mystic tracer, Alfei Zuzei. He had a lot of money that he was owed. Bei Chuzai. Aknu Niale, the Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. He gave Rav Shmuel Bar Abba the power to collect on his behalf. Agav a Sifa the Beite, but the threshold of his bayit, Rashi gives two interpretations, the threshold of his bayit or the back of his house, meaning they gave him a small piece of property and he did a Kinyan Agav. Kiata Nafak Lepe Atoach. And when he came back, Papa went to greet him all the way out to Tawach because he was so excited that he collected the money on his behalf that he was able to get the money back. But here you see, how do you empower a Shliach the Kabbalah? You can only empower a Shliach the Kabbalah by actually giving him the rights to collect on that money, to give the rights of collection and rights of ownership so that he can then sign off on the item and say that it's his. It's really his. If it's really his, then you can give it to him and get a receipt for that item. Tosos over here has a couple of questions. One Tosos says that you can't send ma'ot v'diukri. We have actually Tosos first of all wants to narrow the scope of this, that you can't have shlichim appointed through these signed documents. So Tosos writes over here, the problem Tosos suggests over here is that the edim are not signed on the document that says that this individual is a shliach. That they're actually signed on the signature, or they're signed on the siman that's on the document. So since they're only signed on that, that doesn't work. But whereas if they were signed, they were actually the signatories to the document which says that this guy's the shliach, then it would work, and you could have a shliach to Kabbalah. But in the end, Tosus reverses this position based on what we learned in Tosus in the first Talmud. First in the first Talmud says you can't appoint a shliach to Kabbalah unless it's done in front of the individual. So Tosus says in that case that even if they sign on a document that says appoint this guy shliach, it doesn't work, because the only way to get a shliach to Kabbalah is to have to appoint the shliach right in front of the person who needs to send the item to you. So that's what Tosus concludes with. The second thing Tosus says is, who's the halacha like over here? So Tosus says, the halacha is like Rav Chista on the previous Amud, who says that even if you appoint shliach in front of Edim, or if you appoint a shliach in front of Edim, that is a good shliach to Kabbalah. Why? Well, first of all, because Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar agree with him, because they also said shliach shaso be'edim avi shliach. That's number one. So number two is Rabban Shmuel in the same position. And now we have a machlokus between what's Shmuel and Rabba on one side, and Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Chista on the other side. And we have a principle in general. When it comes to machlokus between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. So over here we have Shmuel instead of Rav, and Tosfos says, "V'hu'adin l'gabi Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Yochanan." When Shmuel argues with Rabbi Yochanan, then the halacha is still like Rabbi Yochanan. So it sounds like here we know that from other gemaras that Rav was greater than Shmuel. Therefore, Tosfos has some sort of kav v'chomer. If Rabbi Yochanan trumps Rav, then he certainly trumps Shmuel. Even though in general we have a machlokus Rav and Shmuel, but comes by Memonos. In those instances, we say that the halacha is Kishmuel b'Monos and Rabbi Surei. So in Monos, Shmuel is still greater than Rav, or we generally paskin like Shmuel. Nevertheless, Tosfos says over here that if Rabbi Yochanan trumps Rav, he also would trump Shmuel. And therefore, the halacha is like Rav Chista over here, and like Rabbi Yochanan, that a person who appoints a shliach b'fnei edim is a good shliach le'kabbalah. Okay, let's continue now. The Gemara continues with our Mishnah. The Mishnah is discussing the Chomish in our Mishnah. What's the status of this Chomish? Where it says, Alma Chomish Mamonahu. From our Mishnah, it seems apparent that the Chomish is Mamon. Why? The faction has to go out of its way to teach us that you don't have to chase after this guy to return the Chomish to him in Madai. That's indicative to us that it is Mamon. And we need a specific listing in the Mishnah to say, if it wasn't Mamon, then the Mishnah could tell us he doesn't have to write that under Madai because it's not Mamon. Since it's Mamon, that means if the Nigzal dies, you have to pay it to his Yoshim. If it's not Nami, the Mishnah says, Natana Tekirim, and Nishbala Chomesh. In our Mishnah, it says that if he gave back, return the Karen, and then he goes swears falsely about the Chomesh, Hari Mosif, Chomesh al Chomesh. Then he pays another Chomesh on his additional Chomesh. Amachum Shem Mamonu. It's clear from this that the Chomesh is a Mamon, because you can only be Nishba and then be Hodet to pay another Chomesh when we're talking about money. So it must be that this Chomesh has monetary value, and it's owed to the individual as monetary value. Tanya Nami Achiv, a Brisa that supports this, a Gozelot Chavero, Nishbalo, person steals from his friend and then swears to him, Umet. And then he dies. Yoshim Mishalmim Karen v'Chomesh. His inheritors, the Gazlan's inheritors, have to pay the Karen and the Chomesh, Ubaturim min Hashem. And they're patur from the Hashem. Obviously, they're patur from the Hashem because that's the Karban, and the Balim of the Karban are no longer around. But when we're talking about the Karen and the Chomesh, they're responsible for it. The only way that you told me you can be responsible is if there's a monetary obligation. Yoshim Bnei Shlume Chum Shadavun Abu? Mar says, wait a minute. Wait, since when are you told me I'm obligated to pay the Chomesh of their father? Verminu, we have something that steps, or we have a price or a limo that goes against this. The Adayin on the Omer, Ematai, Eino Mishalim Chomesh, Al Gezel Aviv. When does a person not pay for a Chomesh Al Gezel Aviv? Is Manchel Nishba, Lohu Velo Aviv. When his father didn't take a Shvua, and when he didn't take a Shvua. Who? Velo Aviv, Aviv Lohu. Who v'aviv minayin? How do I know also in a case where his father took a shvua and the son did not take a shvua, or in a case where the son took a shvua and the father did not take a shvua, or in a case where both the father and son took a shvua, how do I know that the Yerushim, meaning the son, is not responsible for the Chomesh? Tamalom asher gazal v'asher asak. Ashak. V'hu lo gazal v'lo ashak. this guy did not steal and did not withhold the wages of an individual. So the only time you're chayav for the chomesh is if you're the one who actually did the stealing. And over here, the ben or the yoshim are not the ones who did the stealing. If they didn't do the stealing, it doesn't matter what shvuah they took, doesn't what shvuah their father took, they're not responsible for the chomesh. Since when, how can we explain our whole Mishnah or prove that our Chumash is a mammon here because the Yitomim have to pay the Karen and the Chumash? Since when do Yitomim pay a Chumash at all? So Amar Rav Achlan, lo kasha, kan shahuda, kan shalohuda. That depends on what the father, when the father admitted to his wrongdoing over here. If the father admitted to the wrongdoing before he died, then the Karen and the Chumash become mammon, and then the Yorshim are responsible to pay it back to the Nigzal. On the other hand, if the father never admitted to the fact that there was stolen material, that he had stolen this item, then, in that case, the Yoshim have no obligation to pay the Chomesh. Mar says, wait a minute. That's very nice that they don't have to pay the Chomesh because of the Lima. But what a Ilo Hoda Karen Nami Lo Mishalim. If that's the case, that he never admitted, the father never admitted to any wrongdoing, then why are the Yoshim paying the Karen, the principal? Fine, they don't pay Chomesh, but they also don't pay Karen in that case. The Chitay Malchan. I mean, you say, okay, that's right. Yerushim don't pay the principal, they don't pay the Chomesh, not going to pay anything because the father never admitted to any wrongdoing. That's not true. If you say, Yikhtech Nayni, Dulo Mishalim, Bahamid Kama Hadar Chomesh, the member of the Karen Mishalim, the fact that we go and have a limud by Chomesh teaches us that by Karen they would have to pay. Right, first of all, if our embrace that we just brought down, we have this lima that says to you that the Yoshim don't have to pay a chomesh, the fact that the brisa only talks about a chomesh implies that they would pay the karen, they just don't have to pay the chomesh. And I have another proof to the Tanya. We have a brisa of Adayin and Yomer, Imatayu Mishalim Karen Al Gezel Aviv, Bizman Shidishbahu Ve'aviv. I would have thought the only time he has to pay the Yoshim, have to pay for the Gezel of his feet, meaning pay the Karen, is when he and his father both took a Shavuah. About when Aviv below who, or if his father took a Shavuah and he did not, who below Aviv, or he took a Shavuah and not his father, lo who below Aviv, or neither of them took a Shavuah, minayin, how do I know that they have to pay back the Karen? Tamalemrik Zela, Va'oshek, Avidal, Pikadon, Yesh Talmud. So I'll explain the Yesh Talmud in a second, but we have a limit from this Brisa, which means that no matter what, you got to pay the Karen. So it's pretty clear from here that the Yorshim are chayav, are responsible to give back the Karen. We also have a Brisa that makes it obvious that Yorshim are not chayav to return the Chomesh. So how could we solve our problem here, or how could we create the solution to explain the difference between the fact that in one instance, we say the Yorshim are responsible for the Chomesh because the Chumsha is Memonahu, and then we have another verse that says that Yorshim are not responsible for Chomesh. So we try to reconcile that by saying, oh, it's a case where the father admitted beforehand, or the father did not admit before he died. So Mar says that's not possible because we have explicitly Mudim. When it comes to Chomesh, the Yorshim are always Potor, and when it comes to Karen, the Yorshim are always Chayav. And therefore, Hodu Lo, the Hodeh Lo Hodeh has no implications with regards to the Karen and the Chomesh. So, V'yativ Rav Huna, V'kamer l'hashmaitita, so that Rav Huna was saying over this whole sugya that we just learned over here, about the question about Rav Nachman and this inyan of the brisa that we just saw here, Yesh Talmud. Amalei Rabba Brei, Yesh Talmud, come on, when you conclude the brisa, you mean Yesh Talmud, mean that the riboy is from the pasuk, that we have a pasuk that number enumerates all these different types of items, and because of that riboy, that's why he's responsible to return the Karen, the Yorshim responsible to return the Karen, even when the father did not admit to it. Oh, Ishtamu Kamar, did you say Ishtamu, not Talmud, but Ishtamu means that they should pay. I mean, there's a logical argument to say they should pay. So, Kamar Mar, Amalei Ishtamud Kamin, I say that there is a limud from the Pasuk, I'm ready to cry, I'm saying it from the Rebu of the Kes. Ella Milo Hodeh. So how am I going to explain, how are we going to explain the solution here of Hodeh and Lohodeh? So Lohodeh is Lohodeh Aviv, Vehodeh Beno. In case the father did not admit to the fact that there was a stone, but the son does admit it. But if that's the case over here, so now what do we have? We have a case now where the father, and that's one of the instances in the Brisa, the case where the father and the son took a shvua that there was no stolen material with them. Then we have afterwards, the father never gets around to admitting that he stole it, and he dies. Then the son comes and says, you know what, it was really stolen material, my father did steal this. Now, fine, he doesn't have to pay a chomesh for his father's shvuah, but he also took a shvuah. He took a shvuah that it wasn't stolen material, and nevertheless, now we're saying to him he has to pay the karen, not the chomesh. Why? He took a shvuah the sheker. So it says, "Nechay b'no chomesh shvuah didei." The Gemara says, "Imri b'shein gazela kayem." It's a case where the gzela is no longer extant. The gzela is no longer extant, then he doesn't have to his shavua is nothing. He's not really taking a shavua on the gzela because he doesn't have the gzela in front of him. He's not withholding the gzela in any way because the gzela is not there. His father stole it and spent it, and it's all gone now, the gzela. So when his father took a shavua, he was taking a shavua that was on the gezel. And therefore, if he admitted something, he'd be chazakir in the chumash. On the other hand, the son here, the gzela, he knows about the gzela of his father, and he takes the shavua. He's basically taking a shavua at bitui, which means that he's taking a stam shavua that I don't have any stolen material, so that's true. There's usher to do that, but that doesn't obligate him in Karen Vachomish, because that's not the parsha of Hashem Gzelot, because he's actually taking a shavua on a gzela that actually exists here, an item that exists. Where it says, Ibishin gzela kayemet, afilu karen namino mishalim. If the gzela is not extant anymore, it's not there anymore, then why does he have to even pay the karen? I mean, he has no stolen merchandise. He doesn't have his father's stolen materials in his hand. If that's the case, what obligation does he have to return this property to the nigzal? The case here is that the gazlan has property. Now, when a gazlan steals, right, he is responsible to return the item to the nigzal. In the meantime, if he doesn't return it to him or he uses up the item, the property of the gazlan becomes mishubah, becomes encumbered to the individual. It becomes encumbered to the individual. If it becomes encumbered to the individual, then even after his death, that the property passes to the Yorshim will be responsible to return that property to the Gazlan. That's the case over here. The case over here is that a Gazlan went ahead and stole something. Then they came and the Nigzal came and said, listen, you stole it from me. He takes the Shavuah that he did, or he takes the Shavuah and based in that he didn't steal anything. And he doesn't admit it. Then he is Yoresh to his children. He eats up, he uses up whatever the stolen material was, but he's Yoresh to his children in Karka. And then one of the children goes ahead and takes the Shavuah and says, we don't have any stolen material. Now, wait, his shvuah is irrelevant because the stolen merchandise is no longer extant. If that's the case, then his shvuah is a shvuah bitui, it's a sur, but has no impact on our case now. Now, what does he have to return? So there's no chomash here because he didn't take a shvuah or a shvuah of Hashem gzelot. On the other hand, there is still a responsibility to return the karen. Why? Because he inherited property from his father, which was encumbered or had a lien on it from the gazlan. Okay, so the Gemara says, why does that help you? Even if it's encumbered, the property's encumbered, how does that help you over here? Having milvel pei, right? It's a milvel pei. It's only an oral encumberment. I mean, there's no contract over here that says it. An oral contract. Why does it help you that the property is encumbered over here? Once it goes to the Yoshim are not responsible to pay back this item when it's an oral obligation, only when it's a written contractual obligation. So Gemara says, Imre, it must be the case over here, is Bisho Amma Bedin. So it's a case where the father already was brought to Din. So Gemara says, Ibisho Amma Bedin, I feel the Chomish to Hamishalim. If he was brought to Din, then that obligation to pay the Karen of Chomish is already a monetary obligation. If it's a monetary obligation, then the Yoshim should have to pay it as well. They should have to pay both parts of it. Just a note over here, Rashi says that we're not goris this last piece of the Gemara that we just read. That piece that we just read, Ika Ika Achoy Nusoy Nechasi Mahavi Elah Mahavi Milvel Pehi Milvel Pehi Ainu Golel Omin Yerushim Milvel Omin Kuchot. That question that we just read, Rashi says we shouldn't be goris. He gives a number of reasons why you shouldn't be goris in the Gemara. First of them is that we've learned previously in the Gemara that the Yerushim are responsible to return the money on behalf of the father when he steals because of Kvod Avihim. Because of Kvod Avihim, they are responsible to return it. So what's the question of the Gemara over here? It's clear that they have to return the Karen. Number two, Rashi says that the solution to this problem, which Kisha Amud Bedin. Kisha Amud Bedin, why does that help him? Then we have a case here, which is that he was kofar. He denied that anything happened. Vinishma, and then he took a Shavuah, and then he never admitted. He never admitted to it. If he never admitted to it, then how is he obligated over here? Because it's a case where the Av never admitted it. If the Av never admitted it, and only the son is the one who's admitting it over this, then what does the Ahmad Bedin do for you over here? And number three, the problem Rashi says is that it sounds like Shamad Bedin is the first time that he showed up in Beis Din. But if he already took a Shavuah to be Chayav and Shavuah to be Kadon and Shavuah to Hashem Gzalot, then that Shavuah had to be taken in Beis Din. It means that he was already in Beis Din. So Rashi eliminates his Girsah and then skips the Gemara. So then he says that the question should be, if that's the case, Chomish Nami Mishalim. And then it skips right to the answer of Amar of Huna Bere de Rav Yeshua. So he skips this whole gears, including the Nevi Shuba Amar Madin. Amar of Huna Bere de Rav Yeshua, the fish aim of Shamir Chomesh, Akfirat Shibut Karkot. No, the problem over here is that you don't pay a Chomesh on a rejection or a denial that refers to Shibut Karkot. Ravuna Brei de Rishua says the obligation is actually coming from the Shvua of the son. The Gzela is no longer intact. The Gzela is no longer intact. The only reason that the Yerushim have to pay here is because there's a Shibud Karkaot. There's a responsibility of a Karka. Then the Ben comes along and takes a Shvua. When this Ben takes a Shvua, when he denies the fact that he has a responsibility to give this Gzela back to the individual, he's denying that he owes him Karka. When it comes to Karka, there's no din of Chomesh by Karka. Therefore, the Ben Shvua generates an obligation of Karen to return the principal to the Nigzal. But on the other hand, there's no obligation to return the Chomesh to the Nigzal. His father never admitted to the item. Since his father never admitted to the item, there's no obligation of Chomesh from the father. And even though the son took a Shvua and denied something that was stolen, and it's here because of the Shibur Karka Oat, because the Karka is in front of us, nevertheless, he doesn't pay Chomesh because there is no Chomesh paid by Karka. Rav Amar Hachav Mayaskinon, Rav gives a different explanation. He's saying, no, unlike the previous answer who said that the Gzela is no longer extant, Rav says, actually, the case is here is that the Gzela is actually extant, is still there. So that there was actually money stored with other people. The son did not know about this, but this stolen item was amongst a bunch of money that was stored with another individual. So Karen, the Mishalim, Daite, he has to pay back the stolen item because now they found with this other individual, they found the fact that he had a stolen item. He's got to return it. Father's stolen item, he's got to return to the Nigzal. On the other hand, Chomesh Lomashalim, Chomesh doesn't have to pay, Techi Ishtaba, Bekushta Ishtaba, because when he took a Shvua, the son took a Shvua, he told the truth. He thought there was no Gzela over here. He had no idea about this other bag of money that was sitting with this third party. He had no idea about it. Since he had no idea about it, we're not going to obligate him to pay a Chomesh because he took a Shvua. When he took a Shvua, he took the Shvua the truth. On the other hand, he has to pay back the Karen. He has to pay back the principal because the stolen item is extant. It's here. It's in a bag with somebody else. And when we find that, we're going to return that to the Nigzal. Okay, we'll stop over here.